Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Motivating Monday, Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, and I thank you. First of all, I must thank you for your love and your support of this amazing broadcast. I say amazing because it's fun, it's formative. It's all about entertainment and lifestyle news. We talk a lot of sports, beauty, fashion. We need to talk more beauty, fashion, business, community. And like I've said before, please send your PSAs. That's my part of doing my part of assisting you in spreading the word regarding your community efforts. So please send your quality PSAs to my email address, cultureshockt, KULTRESHOKKENTERTAINMENT@yahoo.com. And those of you that are just loving and wanting to advertise, Don't hesitate, because this is a perfect outlet to advertise your businesses, from corporations to mom and pop, really. And so much shout out to blogtalkradio.com staffers and fellow producers and hosts here at Blog Talk Radio, and of course, again, the listening audience. And of course, this Motivate Monday, you know, we do our best to motivate and inspire. So we're continuing the review of Walk Up the Weight Journal and book, and also talking about a lot of hot stuff. Congrats to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also for their big win last night. Believe it or not, I did not get a chance to watch the game. But the team that I did predict last evening, if you did join us for the first primetime broadcast on a Sunday, I thank you again. And if you did hear my prediction did win, huh? I love both teams, and I never thought I would be rooting for the Steelers. Been a long-time Cowboys fan and Saints fan, and you know the rivalry between the Cowboys. That's when I became a Cowboys fan back in the mid-70s when they were really battling out with the Steelers. But I love the Steelers. The coach is an amazing coach, and the team is amazing. But I believe in the Colts also, a beautiful city that I haven't been to in ages, and it's my awesome team. And but I just felt that the Steelers would win. My mother told me that the Colts actually led the entire game until the Steelers win in field goal. So, wow. It's too bad I'm not a gambling woman. I would have some money on this morning. But, again, I thank you for joining. And I see my cousin Lynn is on the phone. But and like I said, one reason why I missed the game, cousin Lynn and I had a hoot of a conversation, our own after show, after the live broadcast. You all know I wanted to hear more about what our ending conversation was about. And, wow, we literally talked until after 10. But before I go any further, I want to remind you all, those that know and those of you that don't know, my dear friend, my longtime friend, that he and I support each other wholeheartedly, and one thing we share is our love for the city of Jackson, Mississippi, and Otha. It's hosting and orchestrating a prayer vigil this evening at the sheriff's at the county courthouse, and 6 p.m. is the time, and it's a community meeting regarding the revitalization of the entire city. And I will provide you with more information, but that's pretty much where you need to, what you need to know. Where at the Hinds County Sheriff's Courthouse. Shout out to Sheriff Tyrone Lewis and all the law enforcement here in the state of Mississippi. And so the where is there, time, 6 p.m. What is it about? It's about praying for the city and coming together and meeting and talking and praying about the revitalization of the city of Jackson. Hopefully, Otha will be able to call us and just speak with us for a few minutes. But I definitely want to provide you all with this information. Friend him on Facebook at Otha Kane, and also follow him on Twitter, because his tweets are amazing. And Otha is the editor of Mississippi Link. And like I said before, he and I are childhood friends. And when I first created my businesses, Custom Shock Entertainment originally was BCW Productions and Management. And Otha really was supportive of me. And a matter of fact, he directed my first fashion show back when I was assistant manager at DJ's Fashion Center for Men. And we both have been so supportive of one another. And, yeah, he's a hardcore Democrat. You know, you all know where I stand being a Republican. And one thing about it, we love our city, and we want the wrongs to be right, to be righted, corrected. What's the right way to say it? And so this violence needs to stop. This crime needs to stop. We need to create more economic opportunities, and not just in Jackson. I know many of you in other cities and throughout the world can relate to what I'm saying. And so that's why I believe it was important to tell you all and to tweet with him and network with him. He and you know, maybe some of us can, some cities and some of us who care about our communities can really network more and can help each other in regards to the pros and cons and what's working in our cities and communities and what's not working in our cities and communities. We may have an issue with crime here, but we have, this is a pretty growing, booming city. It's a tourist attraction. There's a lot of good things. Last week I read to you all a lot of good things that are happening in the city from a newsletter that I had received from the mayor and from the mayor's office. So a lot of good things are happening here, but crime is a not good thing that's happening. So, and we're not alone. So it's important for a lot of us to pray together and link up together and talk about this. And Cousin Linda, the native of Jackson, she's online right now and, living in the metropolitan area of Dallas, where she's been for the past 30 years, and she loved and traveled back and forth, like I would love to start back resuming to do, to Jackson. And it's sad when our relatives and friends and people that come here for business, travel back and really feel like their hands are tied and want to do more. So that's another reason why it's just important for us to be involved, because I do my best to stay in the know of cities that I love that I've never been to, because it's important for us to know what's going on. So I just wanted to let you all know that that is an important event that's happening this evening, orchestrated and hosted by Otha Kane. Friend him, like his Facebook fan pages, and tweet and network with him on Twitter, because honestly, he's very active on Twitter, and he really gets a lot of exclusive news also. So he's one of being an editor at a internationally known local paper here, so it's good to network with him. And maybe you, he being an editor, maybe can you all can share stories and stories that he can publish and so on. But I just wanted to share that. I didn't know I was going to run on. I just wanted to say something real quick, and I've just pretty much continued on. But again, thank you. And here's America the Beautiful, imprint of UK. And remember, you can check out more of her music at Reverb Nation. And when we return, Cousin Linda is online also, and I know she has some things to share.
Oh, beautiful and poison whore, by terror you do reign. For war and oil you destroy, and all done in God. Come on.
Wow, I love her rendition of America the Beautiful. Like I said before, check out more from Imprint, who is based in the UK. And it's just something about hearing someone who is based in another country sing America the Beautiful. And she sings it beautifully to me, and I think to many of you also. But, yeah, I know some of you said I've heard the better, but it's very nice. And I began playing it on 4th of July and doing the Olympics. I just, wow, couldn't resist not playing it. And but you can check more of her music out at a Reverb Nation imprint, pretty much. Just amazing. Shout out to the UK listeners also, and those of you in France and Australia and all the Alleners. There's so many Allens in the world, so I'm amazed of the listeners that I hear from Allens, literally from around the world. And so I'm like, okay, I really need to do research regarding the different tropics and islands throughout the world. But many of you are living the life. That seems like just an amazing lifestyle to live on islands, you know, on beautiful islands. If it's Hawaii or the Bahamas or Barbados or Jamaica or islands around Africa and all just everywhere, just amazing things to me. Because some of my online friends, it's amazing at the pictures that they share of their lifestyle in the tropics. So I just wanted to shout out friends in Malaysia and in Thailand, and of course right here in Jackson, Mississippi, and in the United States. Thank you so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. It's amazing when we're on so many time zones. Did you all hear about one director of, like, so many of my favorite movies, and I'm sure yours too, his brother, Ridley Scott, produced a lot of great films also. But, wow, Tony Scott, famed director, committed suicide in Los Angeles County. I'm sure many of you have heard about this sad event. And so I want to share something from Deadline Hollywood. I love getting news from Deadline Hollywood. And this is written by Pete Hammond, and it just was published literally right before 4. And he writes that it is doubly sad and ironic that action movie maestro Tony Scott will apparently choose to end his life by jumping from a bridge. This is the kind of thing you will more likely see because he was calling the shots from behind the camera. I mean, he directed Top Gun. And I just heard, like, a few weeks ago that Top Gun, the sequel, was in the works. And, of course, he was the one that was working on it. And, wow. I mean, wow. Let me continue to read this. And literally, like, right now, I'm wearing a sweatshirt from USS Ranger, the carrier where Top Gun was filmed. Because at the time, my boyfriend at the time, was a sailor on that ship, Darryl Stewart. So shout out to Darryl, wherever you are. You just got to keep in touch with one another. But he was based in San Diego and was on the ship when Top Gun was filmed. And literally right now, ironically, I am wearing a USS Ranger sweatshirt from back when Top Gun was filmed. Well, see, I'm not that fat. If I can still wear something from the 80s. But yeah, this is just a sad, sad story. And, you know, I say this because just last Tuesday, what was the topic of the show? Suicide prevention. Prevent suicide. One of my best male BFF Facebook friends last Monday shared his thoughts of suicide. This is an issue regardless of your background, regardless of your success. And when I mentioned to my mother this morning, she was like, well, why did he commit suicide? He left a suicide note, so I don't know. The family probably would keep it private, but, you know, wow, this is something. But let me continue this article so we can move on and talking more about motivating things and our health. But I know many of you are movie lovers and love the films that he and his brother direct also. But Deadline Hollywood is the source, and the writer is Pete Hammond. This is the kind of scene you will more likely see because he was calling the shots from behind the camera, not the stuff of his life, the industry is going to have a very hard time accepting his death now, or that there won't be any more Tony Scott movies in the future. Even though he was 68 years old, an advanced age in youth upsets Hollywood, his career as a director, producer, partner with brother Ridley was still so vital on all fronts. His career, in fact, seemed to reflect the name of his terrific final feature, Unstoppable, in 2010. To me, it seemed he was getting better, more accomplished, more defined with each passing year. What a shame. We won't see where he might have gone with the long-awaited sequel to his first major hit, Top Gun. I love that movie. I can watch it over and over again like Purple Rain. 1986, 25 years after the first one. He was even hoping to tackle a remake of Sam Peckinpah's classic western, The Wild Bunch. Not sure if that was a good idea, but if anyone could have pulled it off, Scott probably could have. It was exactly 1 year ago, almost to the day, that I spoke to, this is from the writer Pete Hammett, I spoke to Scott and his brother Ridley about their enormously successful TV film production company, Scott Free Productions. At the time, its TV division had landed a remarkable 23 Emmy nominations in 2011, with such projects as The Good Wife, the miniseries The Pillars of the Earth, and the nonfiction Gettysburg. So if his name is not familiar to you, you definitely probably loved a film or a TV project or a commercial that he had directed. It was an international conference call with Tony in London, Ridley in the South of France, and their TV president, David Zucker, in Los Angeles. The brothers were so upbeat about their empire, which has expanded even more since then. Despite his busy career in film, Tony was particularly proud to be recognized as a producer on so many small screen projects, too. He recalled that his first TV project was on BBC about Henry James and described how he even found time to direct an episode of the CB series Numbers in its fourth season. I love being involved in these shows. You get to catch yourself in so many different ways and in different disciplines. We have a great team around us, and even though Ridley and I are always bird and busy, we are always hands-on in our involvement. I believe we have Mr. Arthur Kane, too, online, so I'm going to hurry up and read this article, and it's time to talk some serious business about revitalizing the city of Jackson. It's one thing for a director of Scott's reputation and accomplishment to wind down a career or fade away while still on top. Quite another to come on strong, even at a time when so many younger directors keep entering the action arena. I think, in fact, Scott was quite underrated. That may have had something to do with comparisons to his brother, who excels in so many different genres. Tony was the action guy, but nobody did it better. His last film, Unstoppable, was one of a quintet he made starring Denzel Washington and perhaps that pair's finest work together. It did acceptable domestic box office for 20th Century Fox, but it really showed Scott's skills as a director. The story of a runaway train headed for a disaster in a major city not only managed to keep suspense levels high without, but also develop a fully three-dimensional and very human relationship between Washington's experienced engineer and Chris Pine's new and untested young conductor. Scott has made an earlier train disaster pick, 2009 remake of The Taken of Pelham 123, which also featured Scott and Washington. Most directors would never have attempted two similar genre pictures in a row. It's no wonder Washington wanted to work with Scott so often. My cousin Linda and I was talking about that last night in regards to actresses and actors like to work with certain directors for different reasons. Some of the two-time Oscar winners' best performances were in those films. Take another look at Man on Fire and check out the extraordinary chemistry Scott develops between Washington and the young girl, Dakota Fanning. He's protecting. Sure, it has all the requisite action and violence we've come to expect from a Scott film, but again, it also has a strong human dimension missing from a lot of films. Scott has had a distinct visual style, very identifiable. Scott's feature film career got up to a bit of a shaky start with a really watchable but ultimately flawed The Hunger in 1983, but then it's hard to imagine anyone else directing Top Gun, exactly, and especially the sequel. Hopefully his brother would be the one to direct Top Gun, and hopefully it'll be everything that we, the ones of us that love Top Gun, anticipate. But I was so excited a few weeks ago when I heard that there was a sequel in the works. But we've been hearing about this ever since the 80s. which informed a generation by creating the need for speed and making Tom Cruise into a bona fide movie star. Then there were hits like Beverly Hills Cop 2, Days of Thunder, again with Cruise, the stylized wild ride of True Romance with a script from Quentin Tarantino, The Taunt and Tense Crimson Tide, his first venture with Washington, and complex plotting of Spy Game with his dream team, Redford and Pitt pairing, and the cerebral thriller Enemy of the State, one of Will Smith's better outings. Tony Scott was a man of action who is going to be sorely missed. He was true talent, and it's a very sad day. It is a very sad day, even if you do not recognize his name. 9 times out of 10, you are a fan of his work, and it is a sad day. And again, last Tuesday, that was the topic of the show, preventing suicide. Wow, we what are the signs? And it's just something. So we're sending love and condolences to fellow fans of his work, and of course Hollywood and his loved ones and family. And it's time to talk the talk, and it's Motivating Monday. We're talking serious business this morning, especially. I helped and been motivated, and maybe also share some fitness tips with us also, But the purpose of the call is to really talk about this evening's event, a prayer vigil that would be at the Hinds County Sheriff's Courthouse this evening at 6 p.m. And it's all about revitalizing this entire city, each and every inch of the city of Jackson. So we're going to say hello to my cousin Linda, because she might have a couple questions also for Mr. O. If he's so busy, he's probably saying, Beth, shut up, because I have some more press to do. It's amazing. He works in the media, and then he's like on the opposite side a lot because of the projects that he's working on. Good morning, Cousin Linda.
Good morning, Cousin Bethany and the world. Fantastic. How are you?
Who? I'm blessed. I guess I had a moment right there. I'm blessed. You said fantastic. How are you? I'm blessed. Happy to have you here this morning, and just gung-ho. I believe Mr. Arthur Kane is online, so I can introduce you to also. He's going to share with us not just one event, because he's always scheduling events for us to realize what's really going on in the city of Jackson. So if you don't mind, it's time to, I believe this is Otha, so it's time to introduce the one and only, my longtime friend, community activist, media mogul, Mr. Otha Kane. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, up and at it for a long day, getting ready for what we're doing tonight. And I want to take this opportunity to say thank you for allowing me to be on to talk about it this morning with you. I always appreciate it. What you bring, glad you have me on this morning. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Yes, I've been ranting and raving about you because it's just amazing. And I know you tire, but it doesn't seem like you tire. But you are always working tirelessly. I mean, really trying to get the word out to us. People, wake up. What motivates you? What motivates you?
Well, I think you just said it when you said people wake up. It really is time for everybody to wake up. And I think that fuels me. I think that motivates me because I recognize, that a lot of times we hide behind not knowing stuff. And when things happen, we use the excuse that we don't know. But, the Bible talks about perish because of a lack of knowledge. And so that's what motivates me, getting information out, disseminating it. And there's so much going on in the city of Jackson, so that keeps me going. And one thing is this recent rash of violence that we had. Last year was one of the deadliest weeks in the city of Jackson. From Sunday until Thursday, and then even on Saturday, we had something to happen. We had 5 people to lose their lives this week. We had an officer to be injured, just on Saturday. So much is going on, and I think that it is time for everyday common people to band together to try to stop some of the things that's going on. You know, but I mean, you can't lay blame on just one somebody. You can't point the finger at just one somebody and say, this person's not doing this or this person's not doing that. What we have to do is say, how can we help? How can we get involved? How can we help this? Because the men and women that put on their uniforms every single day, they wear that badge proud, and they leave home not knowing whether or not they're going to return. And their families make countless sacrifices every single day. So I think it's up to every citizen to stand together and go. And that's what we're trying to do. That's the purpose of a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. The prayer vigil has not been planned. That's what we're doing tonight. You know, I was telling somebody on one of those yesterday, I don't even know how it is going to look. I don't know how it is supposed to look. That's what we're going to do tonight. And I have pictures of you, you know, the people that will be leading some people. That's what somebody said. Well, my prayer is evolving. The prayer is the beginning. One thing that we all have in common is our faith, you know, our strength on a higher power. So tonight at 4 o'clock at the Hanscom Sheriff's Department in the Comfort Zone, we'll be meeting to map out a strategy for this prayer vision.
And we'll map out a strategy. And we're going to pray.
Yes, we'll map out a strategy for the prayer vision. Yes.
And, wow. I'll be honest, I'm speechless. Because I have a prayer work, and it takes us coming together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It works.
I'm like you. I'm just dumbfounded from what happened last week. This is like the most dangerous, deadly. I mean, a baby, kicking up with a baby, the one-year-old baby dying.
Right.
Somebody said,
living in Jackson, you better be glad you're living in Jackson, because if you live in Chicago, if you live in Detroit, if you live in New Orleans, what's happening in Jackson is nothing in comparison to what's happening in those other cities. Well, my response to that is death, period. And I don't care about those other cities. I care about people. I don't necessarily care about those other cities. But the city that I do care about is where I live, and that's Jackson. And one death is too many for me.
One injury. And what about people that are left disabled from the violence? You know,
right.
One life, and being some people whose lives are changed forever. And
right.
We're trying to stop the killing, but then there's armed robberies, home invasions.
Right. It is just time to reclaim our city. It's time to put Jackson on the right track. It is time for Jackson to experience greatness. And the only way we can achieve that, the only way we can do that, is by us all band together to make it happen.
Yes, we have to make it happen. That should be our mantra. Make it happen. Revitalize
right.
Jackson.
Right.
Make it happen.
Exactly.
And how can we make it happen? Prayer and coming together.
That's right.
Regardless of our thoughts and opinions of one another, but what we mutually have in common, all of us, that if we live here or work here or love visiting here, because there are so many people that just love to visit here. My cousin Linda on the phone, she is a native of Jackson. She loves Jackson. She lives in Dallas, been there since 81. She's an author of a novel, Merlin's Adventure, worldwide traveler, but she loves Jackson. And cousin Linda's on the line right now. Linda, let me introduce you all, Mr. Otha Kane, my longtime friend. I'm so surprised you two don't know each other. Linda White Oliver, product of Lanier, Jackson State. But Cousin Linda, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, but, you know.
Good morning, Otha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. I remember reading the link, I believe, when I was in Jackson. Were you publishing that newspaper back in the late 70s?
You know, I was not, but I'm affiliated with the Mississippi League now. I serve as the managing editor there. Socrates Garrett is the owner of doing it back then.
Yeah, you probably know.
Okay. Seems like I remember reading it, and I know they had a the link over here in Dallas. And I was wondering if the two papers were kind of connected or whatever, or if that name had any particular reference or whatever. It seems like I remember a link when I was in Jackson, because I used to read other publications other than just the major newspaper there.
And there's a Jackson Advocate and the Mississippi Link. And you probably know Socrates Garrett. Yeah, like Otha said, he's the original publishing owner of the paper. But Otha, let's read Otha's info, because I brag a lot about Otha. But you, on his Facebook page, you will see all and everything about Otha and how he became this media mogul that he is now. Not only did we grow up together, but we both worked at Mac Ray's. I worked at North Park, but he worked at the location Cousin Linda worked, our cousin Trent Phillips worked. Remember when Cousin Trent worked at Mac Ray's in Meadowbrook? Yes, Mr. Uh-huh. Otha was an area sales manager there. So some people might wonder how did you get in media, Otha. You want to share that story?
You know what? For me, it was just a fluke. Like you said, retail paid my way through college. You know, I went through McRae's training program and worked at McRae's for all these years. I actually worked at North Park a little bit, you know, on the floor and became an assistant department manager. Moved to Natchez and worked at the store in Natchez, then moved to Meadowbrook, worked at Meadowbrook, then moved to the Metro Center. And then after the trip to McRae's, I worked at one of those stores inside the Metro Center as being a store manager. And I just got into radio and the media on a fluke, you know, just on a fluke. Back when I was at Meadowbrook as the senior area sales manager, I was making my announcements from the sales department. And the guy Kenny Wendell from Miss 102 was there and heard the Mitchell announcement. I thought it was an angry person downstairs trying to return something. And so I went down ready, armed, ready to fight and fuss, you know. And it was him asking if I had any interest in radio. From there, here I am.
The rest is history. He has worked at numerous radio stations, even left and went to Atlanta.
Yeah, I did.
Well, yeah, but then he came back to Jacktown and just has not stopped.
Jacktown is home. Jacktown is going to be a great city.
What's the out-of-state subscription rates? In case, because I'd like to subscribe, and in case there are listeners who'd like to subscribe.
It's $32 a year for the paper, and we're a weekly paper. We're the only statewide African-American paper in Mississippi, and it's $32 a year. And what you'll find is real balanced news, real balanced issues, real balanced views, and we cover just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, Beth, I'm surprised you haven't sent me an issue, because you talk about it all the time.
Exactly, I will, because Cousin Linda, she sends me the Dallas Observer. I love the printed copy. I'll send you a printed copy and more than one so you can share it with friends, too.
Yeah, and I'm there for
you.
Okay.
And the website is it Mississippi Link or the Mississippi Link, Olsen?
MississippiLink.com.
Yeah, MississippiLink.com. So international listeners, because UK and, you know, a lot of our UK listeners, they really feel what we're going through. We really go through a lot of similar things, and you probably be hearing a lot from our UK listeners and other listeners also, but especially in the UK, because it's amazing how we UK and US love each other so much. We go through some of the same things, so you probably will hear from publishers and editors and regular people and all regarding this topic, because we all are experiencing this, and it's sad.
Right. Right. Well, we welcome that. I've got a full day, so I'm actually getting ready to go do a TV interview at Channel 16. So I appreciate
that. Oh, great. I'm tuned to 16.
I am
tuned to 16 right now, so you will be on air soon?
We're taping. I got to air today. We're pre-taping it. It's going to air Tuesday or Wednesday. We're taping.
Okay. It will air tomorrow morning. Travell's interviewing you?
I'm not sure who is doing it.
Let me shout out 16, because Terrell gets on me. I was telling Cousin Linda yesterday when the story broke about the jail down in Raymond, I was just sharing WLBT's story, and Terrell got on me. Why are you not sharing our story? And that's another topic. You must come back so we can talk about all of this crazy stuff that has been happening, like what's going on with jail and Raymond, and also good things, because a lot of good things are happening. And I know you're always
a lot of great things are happening in this city. You're right about that.
Yeah, so can you provide us with more with the information again regarding tonight's event and how
yes.
people can contact you?
Listen, this meeting is open to everybody. It's open to the public. This is a planning meeting, actual prayer visual. What we're doing tonight is planning the prayer visual, and this meeting is open to any and all who have a vested interest in the city of Jackson. So I encourage you to come out tonight and be with us, let your views be heard. Because I know, really, everybody's like me. Everybody's tired. Everybody has reached the point of saying enough is enough. And really is enough. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be at the Hatch County Sheriff's Office Room, downtown Jackson, mapping out this prayer visual, what it should look like, where to be, who should be doing what. That's what we're talking about tonight. So we solicit prayers. We solicit your help. So join us tonight at 6. Bethany, thank you very much. And Linda, it's a great meeting.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
And you're welcome. And I'll continue to spread the word about your appearance tomorrow. And have fun taping the show this evening also. Entitled.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. God bless. And keep up the great work.
Thanks, Bethany. God bless. Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. When I went to that website, Beth, it locked up my computer, so you're going to have to send me the printed copies.
I had a little echo, but I hope you all could hear it,
I could make out some of what he was saying, not everything.
Exactly, and I wanted to ask him to hang up and call back, because sometimes that rectifies that situation. That echo on is annoying, and also people want to hear clearly. but it clears up. So I was like, thank God. And then right at the end, right then, it kind of echoed a little bit. But I'm like, we need to get this information out here regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
I
couldn't pull up the website. And then when it it just froze my computer. And then when it finally did come up, I had hit the X to try to, to get my computer to undo or whatever, to free it up. And then it went off. So I'm afraid to go back to that website because I don't like for my computer to do that. But send me the information, and I'll email it to my friends in Jackson and around the Jackson area.
Uh-huh. And then your other friends also, they want to know what's going on in your hometown.
Yeah, because, they say the same thing that you say. A lot of times they don't know what's going on until they get an email from me.
Exactly, because I have nosy, because I know my friends from all everywhere. They make sure they send me info, and I'm a snooper. I find out what's going on in the little local papers and everything. What's really going on?
Yeah, I never see the Mississippi Link when I'm there. I always pick up a Jackson Free Press.
Yeah.
And, a friend of mine usually takes me somewhere where they have the papers there, and I'll always pick up one because I like to know what's going on entertainment-wise, too.
Uh-huh.
But, it seems like I remember the Link or Mississippi Link way back up right before I came to Dallas.
You probably know Socrates Garrett, Socrates Garrett.
I've heard his name, but I just can't place him.
He's the publisher of the Mississippi Link. He used to be in the Standard Life Building because in the late 90s I shared a suite with a friend of mine on the 13th floor in the Standard Life Building, and he was on that same floor. But now he has his own business complex on Livingston Road by the Jackson Medical Mall on the end.
Okay.
I think close to the post office, like at, what's the name of that little street? That little street behind the medical mall.
Oh, okay. I took my mother over there to that post office a couple of times.
So his business is the office complex. It's the Socrates Garrett Building, I think that's what it's called. It's located right there on Leviston Road, right when you turn to go, like if you're going traveling south, make a left off of Leviston Road. But it's on Leviston Road, but it's like when you turn and go to the post office. But yeah, you probably know Socrates, Gary. Google him, and you probably would say, I know him. I'm not sure where he attended. I think he was at Jackson State, but I'm not sure if he even is from Jackson. But he's a successful businessman here. But he probably did begin publishing the paper before you moved away. But then it became a competitor to the Jackson Advocate, probably like in the early 90s. You know, it became like, okay, that's not the only paper we have. Yeah, I'll send you all printed copies of it also.
Oh, great. I look forward to that.
Exactly. But, Otha has been editor for probably the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And he's really hands-on.
Yeah, it's good y'all are having that meeting tonight because there seems to be some complacency among the citizens in Jackson. I'll hear people say, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Take one step like Otha is doing. And, you know, if you just have to start out small with a meeting at somebody's house, a meeting of 4 or 5 people, and spread the word or do something rather than saying there's nothing I can do or I'm just one person, I can't do anything, or I don't have any power, I can't do anything. These movements generally start with 1 or 2 people.
And you all are talking to, that's something I didn't mention to Otha, because Otha would love it to know that you worked with Megar Evers. You all are listening to someone who knows. As a young girl, she was out there in the early 60s. Protesting and working with Megar Evers and many others. So, Cousin Linda, you know, I'm getting chills through my body. You know firsthand it only takes a few to make a difference, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
And so, I think there is hope for Jackson. You know, last night I was saying it seems like it's just going to just obliterate with the crime rate and crime spreading as fast as it is to the entire city. But with what's going on tonight, there is hope, and Jackson can be saved.
Yeah, because, you know, I talk to people all ages, I have a lot of friends of all ages, and I especially senior adults, men and women, and sometimes, you know, they talk about the good old days in Jackson. You know, the fun that was, and how Jackson was in the 50s, in the 60s, and especially in the 60s, how Ferry Street and Capitol Street and the different places people could go for dinner and supper clubs, and you know, and a lot of people really wished, wow, I wish I could see something in my lifetime happen. I mean, I myself hoped we could see something in my lifetime, because, you know, Mom and I were talking yesterday, and I'm like, wow, you know, and you and I talk about this, wow, you know, if only it could get back to being, I know we can't go backwards, we should be going forward, but at least be a growing metropolitan city the way it was in the past. Cities on the outside of Jackson are filled with so many businesses from, it's mom and pop businesses still exist. Now in Jackson, because of the crime, mom and pop stores and businesses, they have to close down out of fear of not being able to retire, or also some people can't close because they need to make ends meet, and then the corporations and other big not just retailers but other businesses also are going outside of the city, and we love those cities, other towns. But how can we attract businesses here? And also more meetings and conventions. Like a lot of these organizations, we do have meetings here, but how can we attract like some of these yearly conventions that a lot of organizations and companies have? I think that's something that they need to do.
When companies look for cities to have conventions, they look at safety and entertainment, and the proximity of where the convention is being held to walking to certain activities. You know, how far are you from a restaurant or a nice bar, entertainment? and will it be safe for the conventioneers? So Jackson doesn't have anything like that. And then businesses locate, you know, I was telling you last night, a lot of them look at how good are the schools, because when they're looking at relocating people to certain areas, the first thing the people want to know, the employees, is there a good public school system there? And what about the neighborhoods, and will we be safe? And what are the city services that are provided? And right now, if you're looking to do something in the city of Jackson, you have, to me, a reason to pause and say, well, I don't think that just right now this would be a good decision to go there for a convention or to go there to move my business there. But when the citizens decide to actually do something rather than just moan and groan and reminisce about the good old days, and when somebody decides to do something with the young people there who seem to be out of control, then you can bring Jackson back to a good status. I won't say great, because that might be stretching it. Because it's going to take quite a bit, because, you know, you've got to do something as far as beautification goes. You know, we talked about how certain areas are run down, and I don't know if the people who own the properties would have to try to clean the property up, or if the city is going to have to condemn certain things and tear down. Because here in Dallas, one of the city council members, former Mayor Pro Tem, they have gone in certain areas of Dallas where the houses were just boarded up, and they've actually bulldozed what Frank Milton, I guess, tried to do in Jackson. They've actually bulldozed houses in certain areas here in Dallas, because there are people who still live in these neighborhoods, and where you know, they were afraid, and the crackheads had just taken over, and large animals were, you know, staying there. So, yes, yeah, something, there's a lot that needs to be done in Jackson, and I think the meeting tonight and the prayer vigil would be like the first step in the right direction.
Yes, I believe so also.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so he said this would be a plan for the prayer vigil. So it should be a lot. And, you know, Jackson has been having from the guy that was killed by the immigrant security guard last Sunday, you know, they had a big prayer vigil regarding his death. And that killing reminds me of, you know, of a senseless killing that happened in Florida earlier this year. You know, so I'm just,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's going to hit mainstream media real soon regarding that. Immigrant security guard, I'm trying to figure out why immigrant security guard had a loaded weapon on him anyway.
Well, a lot, and I don't want to seem demeaning or racist or bigoted or whatever, but when a lot of immigrants come to America, they feel that they can do whatever they want to do to black people, because you know our status in this country.
Okay.
And immigrants, you know, will come and open a business in the black neighborhood and treat the customers with less than respect. And sometimes our customers can be difficult, especially the younger people. I don't want to just harp on them, but there seems to be some respect lacking from the younger generations, and I don't know if it's something that they don't get at home or what. But, you know, when we were coming along, you were taught to be respectful, especially my mother always told me, respect your elders. And my elder could be anybody who was 7 or 8 years older than me. You know, you just show that little sign of respect. It doesn't hurt anything. But I've experienced discrimination from immigrants. You know, I was telling you that when I go in certain businesses, because I'm black, they don't want to treat me with respect. You know, that not even a good morning or how are you, and they certainly see you coming in the store. So I'm thinking, well, apparently they don't want my money, so I'll just leave. You know, I won't spend my money with where I'm not appreciated and where you don't appreciate my business. And back in the early 70s, Yeah, you know, throw your change on the counter. Not put your Koreans had a bad habit of not wanting to put your change in your hand. They just put it on the counter. So they came up with this thing about when black people complained about it, they said that that was their custom to put your change on the counter. Well, having been a world traveler and having been to Korea, I didn't find that to be true. When I'd make purchases, now true, I was only at the airport in Seoul, Korea, but I had like 7-hour layovers. And when I would make a purchase at the Korean stores in the airport, they always put my change in my hand and always, you know, acted like they appreciated. And Asians, people, I don't know if respectful is the word or whatever, but they like to bow. And I know that is their custom, so I would bow. You know, I show you respect. If this is your custom, then I reciprocate. If you bow, then I bow.
And that's the reason why I love Asian customs, because it seems like they're so respectable and honorable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So you knew that not to be true when people would say that.
Yeah, when they say they don't put money in your hand, that's not the custom. No, now when I was in Korea and when I was in Hong Kong, I'm sure I came into contact with some Koreans. That's not the truth. They put your money in your hand. But back in the early 70s, there were a lot of immigrants from Iran coming in and operating convenience stores. And the Iranians were very, very condescending to young black people. And I hate to say it, but
that's a whole other talk show. Young people here in Jackson,
but after,
love to talk about that right here.
But after some of the convenience store owners got shot and killed, then that broke up their, you know, being, and I'm not certainly not suggesting that as a resolution, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you have to get somebody's attention. That was one of the things that they used to say during the civil rights movement. You've got to get somebody's attention. You know, if you just sit back and just take things and accept the status quo, well, it's going to continue. Now, we used boycotts effectively, too. And, you know, I told you that if black people stop patronizing certain businesses, then that ought to serve as a wake-up call. You know, when people are mistreating you and letting you know, well, I don't appreciate your business, you know, just give me the money and get out of here, or I feel like I can talk to you any kind of way, or I have a license to shoot to kill or whatever, I'm defending my business. You know, some of the onus is put on us as citizens, too. You know, we complain about the treatment that we get. Well, stop shopping at those businesses and you know, for a month and see if their attitudes don't improve or the treatment towards you doesn't improve.
You would get their attention when those deposits aren't the same, and then they'll realize, wait a second, we are a decrease in sales and clients and customers aren't coming in. Where's our favorite customer? And why you treat that favorite customer like crap? Favorite customer decided to take a break.
Yeah, I know this Exxon station on Northside Drive, and I think that's Hanging Moss in Jackson.
Oh.
I don't go there. Right up there across from McDonald's and Wendy's.
Yeah.
You know that Exxon station?
Yeah.
I stopped going
those
there.
Indians. Aren't those Indians?
I believe so. Yeah, they were extremely rude. I stopped there to get gas,
I'm listening.
I stopped. Oh, okay. I guess it's so much backfeed or whatever on the line. Well, when I'm in Jackson, the type gasoline I put in my car is Exxon, and I used to go to that station because, you know, I'd be staying with Aunt Mildred, and I would just always go to that Exxon station to get my gas, a newspaper, and a bottle of water or something. So, you know, I was getting ready to come back to Dallas. So I went in there one day, and the lady was, no, it was a gentleman. The man that was working there was extremely rude. And then when I gave him a 20, and he, you know, for the gas, and he didn't want to give me my change back, and which he didn't. He claims that I only gave him a $10 bill, and I said, no, I gave you a $20 because I knew what I was going to buy and everything. So it, I could see it was going to escalate to an argument, and he's behind bulletproof glass. And I said, well, before there's any confusion, I was thinking to myself, let me just leave. You know, I'm out of my money, and I will just chalk this up as a bad experience and to never, ever.
And he's out of a regular customer. And then
yeah,
he was out of a regular customer.
Right. So I always go to the Exxon down on Northside Drive and 55. And that's where, you know, I've told other people to go. Because I'm not going to spend my money with somebody who disrespects me like that, you know, cheats me out of my money, then argues with me, and is rude to boot. So I figure if I'm getting that kind of treatment, I'm sure everybody else who goes up in there is getting the same kind of treatment. But those people can stay in business because, for whatever reason, people continue shopping there. But that's one thing about me. I will not spend my money where it's not appreciated.
Exactly. Wow. And same with all the relationships, too. If you don't appreciate me, if I feel you don't appreciate me, then just okay. You have made it obvious. So same with these business owners. You make it obvious when you treat people a certain way.
Exactly. So obviously, this is where that's their livelihood. That's where their money is coming from. So if, you know, if the citizens in those areas and the citizens who live outside the area and happen to pass by there and stop, if you stop supporting these places with your dollars, things will change. And then it's time for us as a race of people to own our own businesses. Why do we have to take our money to other people? So there's a lot going on in Jackson. It's not going to be just one solution to stop what's going on.
What do you say to people? Because I know a few. I matter of fact, I have friends that are Caucasian and other races who are saying the same thing. I mean, here in Jackson, who are saying the same thing. They are hurting and they want to see Jackson. Some still live in Jackson. And they really want to see Jackson prosper. So what do you say to just overall, to our friends of all races that feel the same, that really feel, because Ben Allen is one former city council person and a major leader in the city of Jackson. He definitely pains for the downtown area and the entire city to prosper. David Watkins, developer who's focusing on a very street project, who's partnered with Deuce McAllister. He really pains on it. So what do you say to those, to people? They're leaders, but then also common people. I know some common white folk, who just, let's do this all together. You know, we can make this happen. We're still here, some of us. And some want to, like you said, some people want to move back to Jackson of different, because all races live, black, white, and all in between. How can we attract some people to move back to Jackson within the city limits? What do you
think? You've got to stop all the hatred between the races, between the major races in Jackson, because when I'm reading the comments on the WLBT and the Clarion Ledger articles, I can't believe some of the racist, bigoted comments, because, they refer to Jackson as Jaffrica.
I did not know this. So that's why it's important for us to have dialogue. And I did not know the way they named Africa. You gotta be kidding me.
Stoltenberg. No, Beth, you keep interrupting me, and I keep trying to, get my point across. But you've got so much hatred between blacks and whites, and black people. I hate to say it, but it seems that there is an element in Jackson that carries out activities that would, that causes people to name names like that. But now that's from the white person's perspective. You know, you might as well say what you really are. You're racist bigots. You hate black people. You don't want to see black people succeed. They are really relishing the fact that Jackson is having all these problems, and it's because they're no longer in control. They're no longer, you know, the mayor and the city council. Now, as long as they were there in control, I guess everything was fine for them. But they didn't see the hurt and the pain that black people were experiencing. Like, I was writing a blog the other day where people were talking about Jackson, and you need to just shoot all the thugs down. You need to just kill them. I said, well, the same thing applied to black people. Well, I was reading an article in the Clarion Ledger.
Okay.
Or either, no, it must have been WLBT because I don't respond to Clarion Ledger blogs anymore because everything goes to Facebook. So it was, it was either one of the national publications or it was WLBT when they're saying, you know, just kill up all the thugs. Well, that won't solve a problem either. You know, that makes you sound like some kind of deranged lunatic if you talk about just mowing people down because you don't like what they do. And, you know, white people don't look at the fact, well, the American Indian might say the same thing. Look how they came over here and built this country. They like to take the high road and say, well, if it wasn't for the European invasion, the Indians would still be on reservations, and black people, you know, over in Africa, you running around in the jungle. And those kind of things are very hurtful. And then when I was this article, I remember when we were protesting and demonstrating and parading without a permit is what they used to arrest us. At the time, the mayor in Jackson was Alan C. Thompson, and his orders were shoot to kill.
And no way.
He had a vehicle called Thompson's Tank, which was a military tank like you use in Afghanistan. Mayor Alan C. Thompson, that was to protect his officers. Now, what protection did they need from innocent
people who
were out there?
Well, you all were unarmed kids. I said you all were unarmed kids.
Of course. Now, you know, it wasn't enough that they had German Shepherd dogs to unleash on us. They had fire hoses from the fire department. And then armed police officers and a military tank with orders to shoot to kill. Now, this is what Jackson had come from. So you think black people don't want to get in power? So I don't know. It seems like white people, the older generations, have short memories or they've blocked out everything. And the younger white people have picked up these racist views from their, you know, their parents and grandparents. So it's a lot of deep-rooted things that are causing problems in Jackson. But the main thing I see is hatred between races. Now, when I'm in Jackson, it seems like if I go,
I was about to say, what about, it goes back, you touched this at the beginning of the conversation, but what about building unity within the black the blacks, from the black elite to the black regular black folks, like you mentioned it last night when we were talking about like black elites of doctors and lawyers and et cetera. But what about building a more improved unity, Ramon, us as a race also coming together and really doing what you mentioned earlier of creating more businesses in the city of Jackson? Because there's a lot of there are some people that are black people, African Americans, who talk about Jackson poorly too. It's very sad.
They do. Yeah, you know, they like to say, well, I live in Madison, I don't shop in Jackson, or I live in Ridgeland, or I live in Clinton as well, because for some reason, when we move outside of our so-called area, it gives them a sense of superiority, it seems like. I'm no longer with that element of my people. I've risen above that, and I have a problem with that as well. But on the other hand, yeah, I look at, well, they want to be safe too, but rather than running from the problem, I think they need to try to fix the problem. Even if you have moved from Jackson, if Jackson provided something for you with your basic education, if you attended Jackson State University or something, Jackson gave you something. You know, if you work in Jackson, don't decide that, you know, like a lot of people say, well, I don't spend money in Jackson. I go over there and work and I get my paycheck and I spend my money where I live. Well, do you think it's fair? How would you like it if the city council and the mayor decided, you know, if for some strange reason they were able to get a law that says the only way you can work in Jackson is if you live in Jackson? Some police departments used to make that a requirement. In order to serve on the police department, you have to live in this city. So, you know, all these people who make money at UMC or the businesses around Jackson or whatever, suppose you had to live in Jackson. So, you know, you want to take everything you can, but then you want to turn your back on the city that's providing your standard of living or your way of life. So, I have a problem with that.
Are you a product of, and what about your roots? If you grew up in North Jackson, if you grew up in Georgetown, which is, you know, or you grew
or
up in
West Jackson or wherever, Avert Addition.
You know, but some people say, well, I left that and I ain't looking back. You know, but, you know, we had a private conversation last night, but we were talking about what we would do and how we could do things and within the city. If we had certain types of success that some others have, how we would really do things and go about doing things. And I believe a lot of people have good intentions and would like to do things, but some people do leave their communities and don't look back. And not just in Jackson, but it's sad you can even live in this metropolitan area and not remember your roots in some of these areas that are just gone downhill. You know,
well,
and then
like
many people like you that travel back and forth to Jackson, and the same sad situation is going on.
Yeah, one of my friends always says that he thinks the problem, and he lives on the outskirts of Jackson, right at Clinton, and he was saying that he thinks one of the problems is there are so many people in Jackson who are not from Jackson. You know, the people who are making money. And some people who may be politicians or whatever, like the mayors, were not originally from Jackson. And I said, well, I don't see that as a problem. He said, well, they don't love Jackson like we do. They don't have the same ties to Jackson that we do. Well, call them out on it. If they're a politician, bring it to their attention. So, you know, you're an elected official, but I don't think you're serving the community like you should. And next time your reelection rolls around, we're going to see if you can't be replaced. Politicians in Jackson seem to think, well, this is a free deal. You know, I got elected. I don't have to worry about attending meetings, but I'm going to get my paycheck. Well, if you start docking their pay, and if people stop reelecting people who do nothing, if you maintain the status quo, make changes. You know, we vote people out of office because they don't serve our needs. And then this thing about, okay, like I said, if you are an outsider and you're only there for the paycheck, well, find a way to deal with those particular people too. You know, you come to Jackson, you made all this money, and you don't want to give anything back. Well, we'll see if we can't deal with you some kind of way. You know, shame them. Bring their names up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You know, you can't slander a person or you can't make slanderous comments and publish them or whatever. Maybe you have to have what we used to call a whisper campaign. You don't want to be derogatory and negative and try to smear people, but just they may not be aware of what they're doing.
Exactly.
So, it's probably like, yeah, you know, if what I'm doing must be okay. Nobody has called me out on it. But now that you do have people who are not from Jackson who really, really promote Jackson. And I hope he doesn't, you know, if word gets back to him, I hope he doesn't mind my saying it. But Dr. Hilliard Lackey at Jackson State, I believe he's from Marks, Mississippi.
Yes.
He's always promoting Jackson. And he's
love
not a
him.
Native Jacksonian. Mm-hmm.
And the mayor himself of Vicksburg, Mayor Harvey Johnson Jr., he's a native of Vicksburg.
Mm-hmm. Well, back on Dr. Lackey, he's promoted Jackson. Now, we lost contact over the years after I left Jackson State, but I got back in touch with him. I saw an article he had written in the local newspaper, and I contacted him and, you know, told him I was in Dallas and everything, and he was wanting to know if I was going to move back to Jackson. And this was must have been year 2006. And I was saying, you know, there is no way I'd move back to Jackson. That horrible place, and I just talked about Jackson really bad because all I saw was bad stuff. And it didn't seem like there was any. Beth, quit interrupting me, please. But I was saying that I didn't want to move back because I didn't see any improvements. And then he started telling me about, you know, all the progress that's being done at Jackson State. And the park, the Pearl Street Parkway, and the apartments that they were building out there. He didn't have anything negative to say. He let me go on and on and on saying ugly stuff about Jackson, but all he did was say positive things. And I think that if residents there would take that same approach, you know, let people like me get it out of our system. Well, this is wrong with Jackson, and that's wrong with Jackson. But if you have something positive to come back with, because I look at Jackson differently now. With all that's going on there, I do want to move back.
Exactly. And I feel weird sometimes because we have to talk about the reality of situations. But, it's just we have to do this crime. Like Otha said, one life lost. We have to face up to this issue. And robberies and rapes, people have to, say, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. You know, a lady right here on Hanging Moss Road, you know, a few months back, you know, trying to run her newly opened boutique and getting raped and so on, she had to close her business down. It just didn't feel safe anymore. But it's sad that, you know, people have to experience stuff like that. And not
and yeah, and see, those kinds of criminals need to be dealt with and dealt with harshly. When you have an excellent police department, they capture the criminals, they arrest them, and you're hoping that they will be in jail, and when they go to trial, they'll get some prison time. But it seems like there's so much recidivism, and it's a revolving door. You have repeat offenders. But, you know, that cycle needs to stop. And these judges need to stop giving people light sentences. Now, I don't know if it's, I guess maybe prison and jail overcrowding would use some tax dollars to build maybe a small jail to house criminals who don't commit real, real violent crimes, you know, your petty thieves or whatever, and maybe take some tax money, the state, and expand Parchman or do something. Because criminals in Jackson don't have anything to fear. They really don't.
But yes, true. That's true. That's the moment I was just talking about on Saturday, and then we hear about the police officer getting shot. But a big shout-out to Police Chief Rebecca Coleman and the Jackson's Finest, because they are doing a terrific job. But, wow, you know, this crisis.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of negative comments and nasty remarks on the Clarion Ledger and WLBT blogs, talking about the police department in Jackson that, you know, is made up of crooks. You know, when you make a blanket statement like this and it's going out for everybody to see, people who don't know any better will be believing that. Well, why would I move to a city where the police department is nothing but a group of thugs? And sometimes you do have police officers who get caught committing crimes or doing things they're not supposed to. But you can't make a blanket statement like that and say the entire Jackson Police Department is nothing but thugs. These people are putting their lives on the line, whether you like them or not.
Is Exactly. DPD just left about a couple of weeks ago. Dallas Police Department was here for like 2 weeks recruiting the citizens and especially newly graduated JPD officers. Because, you know, you probably seen the story. Well, wait a second, Dallas PD coming here and recruiting our newly graduated officers.
Yeah, that's not right. But you can't blame the recruits if they did leave because Dallas has a lot more to offer. And I'm sure the salaries would have been a lot better, probably double. And that's something else. Jackson needs to pay their police officers more money. I don't know if they can afford it or whatever, but the police officers certainly don't earn enough money.
Yeah, because I know one while a lot of police officers were moonlighting. They were doing working other jobs, other gigs, you know.
And that's
so,
bad.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yes.
And then if the tax base keeps leaving Jackson, there's not going to be any money to pay any police officers. So, you know, I don't know if the people in charge in Jackson realize what's going on when they lose businesses, you know, that's taking tax dollars. And, you know, I was telling you about the population of Jackson. There are quite a few elderly people there who don't have to pay homeowners taxes. And the younger people, a lot of unemployment, they're not homeowners. They don't pay taxes. And, you know, with all these businesses that's leaving, the city is not collecting sales tax. And then you've got the city council where, you know, you've got people who draw paychecks and don't actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed.
But I wanted to backtrack also because I wanted to elaborate on Dr. Hillard Lackey. Yeah, I've known him since I was a student at Jackson State, which I studied. I didn't graduate, but I studied business management at Jackson State for 2 years. And he's always positive. He and one of my favorite professors, management professors, Dr. Bill Cooley. Those two gentlemen are always positive in regards to the city of Jackson and Mississippi, period, and always encouraging and inspiring others. And I know some people say, well, that's their job, but it's a lot of people in their positions that don't speak like that, like
well,
you said. And
I can't tell you.
And speaking positive thoughts. And, of course, they talk about the truth and the needs of Jackson community, but they do promote Jackson in a positive manner. You know, and and for students and citizens alike to not to give up and be you. And if it's working in corporate America, corporate Mississippi, or owning your own business, they always are just working a good job. They always motivate and promote people in regards to that. So, yeah, I want to elaborate on that. You know, Dr. Hillard Lackey is just amazing. He's good friends with Mr. Williams, who, you know, a famed local car salesman, and I love to talk with those guys because they talk about what's negative going on here, but most importantly, we all love Jackson, Mississippi, and talk positive about it. And then a lot of people want to know, well, why should I come to Jackson or why should I visit Jackson or visit Mississippi, period? What's going on? There's a lot going on. And just like any other area, there's some negative stuff going on too. But it's all about networking and partnering up with different cities also and helping one another. But, yeah, you're sure right about there's some people you can say they're always talking negative, but he's one of those guys and like you said, you've known him a long, long time. I only known him since like 20-plus years since I was a student at Jackson State. But he's just an amazing force to spend time with us, at least read his articles and blogs and the works. Yeah, because there's some people that, you know, that you think would be promoted, not.
Yeah, he's a good mentor, and he will nurture students. Now, when I was at Jackson State, I hate to say it, but there were some instructors who seemed like they were more determined to fail a student than to try to help somebody get a decent grade. But Dr. Lackey wasn't like that. If it was anything he could do to help you successfully pass his course, then he would do it. And students from his hometown got special attention. And I remember once a friend of mine that I was working with had a her grandson had a friend who was going to attend Jackson State, and he was afraid to come to Jackson and wasn't really sure about attending Jackson State. So I sent Dr. Lackey an email, you know, and asked him if he would look out for this young man. And he said, well, send me his name and everything and give me his name and here's my phone number and email address and tell him to contact me. Now, you know, Dr. Lackey don't know this person from Adam's house cat, and I didn't either, but just the fact that he was so receptive to the idea of, well, okay, here's a potential student that's going to come to Jackson State, and because my former student, Linda White Oliver, has asked me to look out for this person, then I'm going to do it. And I don't know many people who would have said, well, yeah, I'll see what I can do to help this person, tell them to contact me. So, you know, I thought that was very, very nice of him. He's a very good person. Too bad he's not mayor of that.
Yeah, you're right. Many people do say that. But when it's time for you to recommend someone, oh, I don't have time. What? So that's
right,
a good point.
Right. Yeah. You know, just tell him to come on. He on his own. I'm sure he'll make it. But no, he said, here's my information, tell them to contact me, and, you know, and what's this child's name so I'll know when they contact me, you know, who it is.
Exactly. So if you all want to know more about Dr. Hiller, you all can network with him, send him a friend request on Facebook. Tell him that you all heard it here from Beth and his former student, Linda White Oliver, because he's on Facebook, and I love the way, because I hear from him often, and I love the way he... On Facebook, his page is just filled with positive messages, and he's always like if someone is doing a good thing, he always like spotlight and share and let the world know, hey, this person is doing a great thing, you know, congratulate him or her. So that's good. People like
that. Yeah, because when I had, you know, first published my book, I sent him an email, and then he sent the information out to all these people, because he has like a Jackson State buddy list that goes out to thousands of people. So he immediately sent that out. He said, Linda White Oliver, you know, he said 1975 graduate, but I actually graduated in 1972. I guess he had forgotten. And, yeah, he sent it out to the Jackson State community, you know, to help promote my book and everything.
Exactly. Wow.
So maybe y'all might try to get him to run for mayor next go around, Beth. I hear you got a young man, something Lee, who is a nephew of one of my former classmates.
Okay. Jonathan Lee, that's someone recently has announced. There's Regina Quinn. There's, you know, Chakwe Lumumba, with whom you know also. Frank Brunson. And they say the mayor is going to run again, but he hasn't made his official announcement yet. So this will be his fourth go-round since 1997. So
not to be negative about your mayor, but I can't see reelecting him because, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion if he had done anything positive.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't step on your toes.
You didn't. You should see me. I'm like,
well, you got so quiet.
I know. You got me on that one. Because you're telling the truth.
Okay.
I don't want to be so, you know, I'm like kind of laughing, so I don't want to sound country go all over the air. I know some people probably say, well, you're too late for that. But you know, when people are laughing, they just caught. So you really got me on that one.
Well, I mean, after three terms, we're having the same discussion.
Yeah, it's not a secret. I am a big supporter of the mayor, but you are speaking the truth.
Well, it's time for a change then.
Okay, Obama. Time for a change.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But seriously, it's a fact.
Yeah,
if things have not changed for the better and things have gotten progressively worse, then it's time to put somebody else in there. And we don't want somebody that's just providing lip service. We don't want politicians from the old days who made a lot of promises to get elected and then didn't do anything and just became career politicians. It's time for some action. And, you know, and don't just let them say, well, I have a plan that will change things and turn this around. No, I need to know specifically. We need specifics. What are you going to do? I need to see this on paper. And then, you know, and do you have a timeline? And, you know, hold their feet to the fire. Once they get elected, you see that they are not keeping their end of the bargain?
Yes.
Hold them accountable.
Okay. Wow.
So it's going to take a lot of things to help Jackson turn around. And you're starting out on the right foot with prayer. Prayer
yes.
changes things. But, you know, you've got to act with prayer. God helps those who help themselves.
Preach. Amen. That's true. And Jackson definitely needs to help. But Jackson needs help also from other cities, I believe. Some cities, either a city similar in size or maybe a larger city like Dallas, to work on, like, partnering up with other cities and getting information on how to correct certain areas, especially crime, because you make some interesting points comparing Dallas crime to other major cities like New Orleans and Miami, and also compared to growing cities like Jackson, metropolitan cities, but still small. You make interesting points. You want to elaborate on that, comparing like Dallas to New Orleans and Miami, and what do you think? Do you think Jackson should maybe partner up with maybe a city in similar size that's doing good, or maybe with a larger city?
When you say partner up, what do you mean by partner?
I know one time in the late 90s, the JPD partnered up with New Orleans Police Department. I know some of you probably say, oh, my God. But and did, like, in surveyed and test and so on. But in regards to, like, crime or in regards, like, Jackson's transit city, transit system could be improved. And they're always finding out ways to improve it. Dallas has a spectacular transit system. And so I just think sometimes maybe cities could think of a way where they can link up and network one another to share advice.
Well,
it might be something Jackson can share with a city like Dallas. I don't know what, but regarding
well,
how
now,
to
let me say something about Dallas transit system, which to me isn't that good. Number one, the light rail system doesn't serve me well because I have to drive to one of the stations to catch the train. That right there doesn't make sense to me. You know, I guess it serves people depending on where you live. And they just announced, I think, a line from Garland or something that's going over to Irving or something like that. And maybe Irving is going to have a train to go to the airport or something. I don't know. To me, it's really lacking. I need something that I can walk to a train station and it's going to go where I need to go. Like, I don't think the trains go to any malls. So it's like it's created for people to go back and forth to work. Now, there are some lines, you know, that go to certain entertainment things, I guess, you know, like if you want to go to something downtown or certain districts. But I'm looking at, when I think of mass transit, I think of places like Paris, France, or Montreal, Canada, where there is a subway station every few feet. It's going to actually take you somewhere.
Excuse me. You've been to San Francisco.
Actually,
excuse me.
San Francisco has an excellent mass transit.
Now, you've been to San Francisco before, right? Because I know their transit system is number one in the world or in America. And so you're saying Dallas need to get advice from San Francisco, huh? Because I hear
that they could.
It's amazing.
See, it took Dallas about 20 years to even get light rail. When I came over here the city council and the mayor were fussing and grumbling about what kind of system are they going to get. Now, they had a man, the late Max Goldblatt, I think it was Max Goldblatt, who wanted the system like they have at Disney World, a monorail, which to me would have been a lot more effective than these dark trains that pretty much go in one direction or something. I need something that's going to crisscross and go all over the place. And it took them forever. And to me, it looks like they raised taxes, I don't know how many times, to finally get this transit system. But like I said, you know, it doesn't serve me a purpose when I've got to drive my car to a train station or catch a couple of buses. Because I remember when the lines were coming up here and going downtown. Well, they sent out free passes for you to try it out. Well, I was going to have to catch three buses to get to the train station. And I, you know, just to go downtown. And I said,
the last time I was there in 2005, I rode the train went straight to the zoo.
Yeah, well, I guess that's probably like, where did you catch the train to go to the zoo?
Well, at the main location downtown.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I mean, downtown and the zoo, what, about 8 or 9 minutes apart? To me, that's no big achievement. Suppose I want to go to the zoo, and I live way up here, almost in Plano. I've got to catch three buses just to get to it. Well, they've got a train station up here in Carrollton now, but I still have to drive to it or take a bus to it. You know, that's too much. I need to get on a train, and for that train to take me where I want to go in a few minutes and bring me back home in a few minutes. Now, I don't need to be doing all this transferring and all that kind of stuff. But Jackson,
Jackson still could use some advice from Dallas. I heard New Orleans and
no, they don't need any advice from Dallas. You need advice from your constituents who are going to take advantage of the system. That it ain't nothing Dallas can tell Jackson, because there's no comparison. Jackson needs ridership. You know, you've got a bus system, and it just needs to be expanded. Rather than cutting back, you need to improve things. You need to make sure the buses are safe so that people will ride it.
Exactly, and that's what they need. I've been riding the bus since 2005, and most definitely, I'm glad I have found out this, learned this experience. Aunt Helen was still riding the bus back then, and I tell Mama all the time, I can't imagine what she was experiencing, because now they have changed the bus routes this past year, where people have to walk so far. And then a lot of booths aren't even available. And I'm friends with a lot of the workers of J-Tran, and they're amazing people. A couple of years ago, they were talking about cutting routes. I mean, it was back to what you were saying, cutting jobs, you know. And that, you don't need to be cutting. It need to be expanding, you know, and coming up with new ideas.
Yeah, you need to improve it, Michelle
Chrysler, when he was campaigning to be mayor in 2008, that's one thing that he wanted to talk about. That he wanted to, I don't know what cities he had been seeking advice from, but he was mentioning that we need, like you were saying, a train system. We need to really improve the transit system and where people can be able to travel on the outskirts of Jackson. You know, even when
Why are you trying to get people to travel to the outskirts of Jackson? You need people that's going to travel around in Jackson and spend money in Jackson.
Even when I first started riding the bus in 2005, a lot of bus drivers, I won't mention any names, they mentioned to me, Bethany, I wish we could also drive up into Ridgeland, up into Clinton. You know, we have to remain within the city limits. Even on Catalina Road, the buses have to stay on the Jackson
well,
side.
Why would Jackson want to provide service to other cities? Take care of your own first, and then once you have an established bus system in Jackson, then maybe these other cities would want you to provide transportation to them. Let them worry about themselves. Take care of Jackson first.
We're talking about like citizens of Jackson and people who are consumers who shop on these outskirts, how at least they wish they could at least be able to transport of the customers, I mean the passengers, to at least the outskirt areas. At least like for instance,
don't look away deep in my outside of Jackson.
I'm just repeating what I have heard from the horse's mouth.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think they're thinking straight. You need to try to concentrate on building your city. Don't be trying to take people to other places to spend money. They'll find a way. If they want to go spend their money in Flowood, believe me, they're going to find a way to get to Flowood or to Ridgeland or whatever.
Yeah, not necessarily Flowood, but...
Well, Ridgeland, Clinton, or wherever.
Yeah. But I'm just repeating what they told me. It's not coming from me.
But
I'm just saying
all I'm saying is think about it. You know, because it seems like you think that's a good idea, and I don't. Think of ways to spend your money in Jackson.
I'm just relaying what I've heard from the horse's mouth from people since 2005, from bus drivers and fellow passengers, and especially bus drivers. They talk to me and tell me their thoughts. And I was approached by WLBT at the last meeting I went to when Frank Melton had came back from his surgery with cancer, and he had to hurry back to work. And I know WLBT had approached me, asking me about the what did I think about the cuts and the potentials of that. And my concern was just about people losing their work, and I believe that, like you were saying, routes could be improved. You know, because I do agree with everything that you said, but a lot of the city workers and bus drivers listen to the show, and so they're probably saying, "Well, I hope she shared what I've been talking about." So I just wanted to voice what they have shared with me.
Mm-hmm. And you voiced it, and like I'm saying, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you need to concentrate on building up Jackson first. And then once you get ridership in Jackson and you have businesses in Jackson, then you might want to think about, okay, now let's think about going to other cities or whatever, you know, expanding the bus routes there. It would be nice if you had a bus that would take people to and from the airport. The airport is not that far from anywhere you live in Jackson. You're close to Medgar Evers Airport. So concentrate on routes like that, something that's going to be beneficial. And then when people come into town, they don't have to worry about, you know, if you don't want to pay the expense of a taxi, you don't have somebody to pick you up, or a rental car, or whatever. Well, they got this real good bus system, and I know it might seem crazy to think that people get on the bus with luggage, but when I went to Montreal, Canada, the person that I was visiting did not have a car. And when I found out he was going to pick me up at the airport, I'm like, well, I got a suitcase and a duffel bag. You see that all over Europe, people getting on trains and buses and stuff with luggage. Or if you're just going to be in town for a couple of days, maybe you can pack very lightly and get on the bus, be able to maybe have a little place set aside for luggage. And, you know, just start out small and provide some buses for your ridership, you know, the inner city. Because back in the day, the Jackson pretty much had people totally dependent on riding buses.
Oh, man, I love talking to especially some of bus people that are retired now, because they talk about the heyday of J-Tran and how they will always stay on schedule. Because one while that was an issue, but it's been rectified pretty much now, of keeping the buses on issue and buses breaking down. But buses, you know, there's new buses and so on, and they're pretty much on schedule now. But a lot of, especially veteran bus, J-Tran workers and those that are now retired, I love talking with them and listening to their stories regarding back in the heyday, how just alone in downtown Jackson needed like 3 buses to handle just the downtown traffic, because it was so much business, so much, back to what you were saying, there was so much business in downtown Jackson alone, had to have business just to cover buses to cover downtown areas. Not just a lot of times. There was so much business downtown. You know, they literally had to be on schedule, and they had to be out there rocking and rolling.
Yeah, and, you know, it was nice to take the bus downtown when you didn't want to have to try to find a parking space or you didn't want to pay to park. You know, we'll just get on the bus and go down there and shop or do whatever you had to do and take the bus back home. You know, that relieved the parking situation. And sometimes the bus was just convenient. And I know when I was going to Jackson State, my first year and a half, I was totally dependent on the bus. That was one reason I got a job and got a car, because I was tired of riding buses, because I had to do two buses to go to Jackson State. And it got to be kind of old, but at first I used to love to ride the bus. And when we were little kids, me and Cousin Doris, and I don't think Diane rode the bus with us, but as little bitty things, we were 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, and we'd ride the bus by ourselves downtown and shop at Woolworths and everything, and then ride back home.
Wow.
But, like you said, when you were talking about no booths or whatever, that's the problem I have with the Dallas bus stop. There's no schedule out there to tell you where the bus is going or what time it arrives, and there's nothing to protect you from the elements.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, so you all have that situation too. Yeah, one thing I do like about Dallas, if you call ahead of time, they would give you information like catching a flight, where you would depart this area and arrive at this area in such time. I do like that about Dallas transit system. You can call ahead of time and they'll give you
I've called them on numerous occasions to find out what time the buses, you know, will arrive. But I don't want to have to call somebody. I would like to see that schedule posted out there at the bus stop.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like they have in other cities. You know,
wow.
You come to town, and because I've seen complaints in publications where visitors to this city would say, you know, they just see a sign out there, but like bus stop. Well, what time is the bus arriving? Where is the bus going? Where do I, you know, get off? You know, and you have to transfer so much in Dallas. You can't just take a bus. I don't understand why I can't just take a bus to go downtown. I've got to transfer to two or three different places before I can even get a bus to take me downtown. So I don't like Dallas's transit system. It's all screwed up to me and expensive.
It's not economically friendly, huh, Cousin Linda?
Not to me. No,
even here, the monthly pass is like $32. I think like the weekly pass is $15. Mm-hmm. And the students and senior adults, they do get a discount. But, yeah, if you had told me I would be riding the bus as a regular passenger, I would not have believed you, because I started driving at such a young age. But for some, I am so glad that I have been exposed to riding the bus, you know, because you learn it's some fun things and then it's some not fun things that, you know, you find out. And you're sure right. When they were like talking a lot about the transit system here locally, I think even Frank Milton, when he was mayor, I think he rode on the bus a couple of times. But a lot of times the passengers and the bus drivers, too, I think they would say, with some of you politicians, need to ride the bus and actually see what's going on out here, you know? Back to what you were saying before you provide these crazy ideas, why don't you ride some of these bus routes and see what's actually going on out here?
Yeah, see how the passengers are being inconvenienced and how far it is to walk to a bus stop. That's why I was saying they need to change the route.
Exactly. And see what some of the drivers are going through. I've been on the bus where unruly passengers off, you know, just go off.
And that should not be tolerated.
Everything you said. I just wanted to be a messenger.
I was the first time I rode the bus here in Dallas, I had to go to work. My car had gotten stuck on the parking lot where I live. We had an ice storm. And I was working for Southwestern Bell, and, you know, storms, hail storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever, you still were expected to come to work. And I was trying to drive off the parking lot, and like I said, my car got stuck in some ice, and so I said, well, I'm right here at the bus stop, so I'll just go catch the bus. And I had to ask the bus driver, you know, what do I do to get to the building that I was going to. So the ride downtown was okay. Now, this was when I was in northeast Dallas. I wasn't way up here where I am now. And so that bus did take me to downtown. And when I got on the bus to transfer to go to the building where I was working, there were about six or seven white people on there and a black man and me. And then we stopped and picked up this passenger, a black crazy person, who, after he put his money in the thing, he announces that he was going to kill all the MFing niggas on the bus. Well, there were only three, me, this black man, and him. Now, you think I wasn't scared out of my mind? And this was in, like, 1981 or 82. And you got a deranged lunatic getting on the bus talking about what he was going to do. And nobody said anything. The bus driver didn't say anything. He didn't call for any kind of assistance or backup or whatever. And I was just praying, Lord, let me get close enough to my job so I can get off here and walk to work. And actually, when I saw that we were getting kind of halfway close to the building where I worked, that I got off because I didn't know what this deranged lunatic was going to do.
And this was in Jackson.
So that was in Dallas.
Dallas, okay,
wow. Mhm. And it was either 81 or 82 because I had just moved here. So I don't know. And I think we may have gotten our first ice storm either late December, early January or February or something like that. And that right there let me know, no, I do not want to ride the bus. And a friend of mine at work, her husband used to be a bus driver for the Dallas transit system. And he stopped driving the bus because the route that they gave him was in such a dangerous neighborhood where people would actually get on the bus and attack the bus driver. You know, and the bus driver was having to fight for his life. And she said her husband decided it just wasn't worth it. So, yeah, you know, politicians don't seem to care until somebody dies or until somebody sues the city or whatever. Then it's just okay, you know, let the people get out there and take their chances.
Wow.
But, ooh, yeah, I certainly don't think passengers and the bus driver should have to be concerned with unruly passengers and people now. You know, this is a city where you can have permits to carry weapons. You don't know if somebody's getting on the bus with loaded weapons or whatever.
Yeah, because I think during the holiday season here, a gentleman had like a rifle in his pants leg. And then I know earlier this year in Dallas, at the Arapahoe Station, a killing happened.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow.
The man was going to his first day on the job, and he got shot and couldn't even go to his first day on the job.
Wow, you make good point. We have about four more minutes of live streaming. So, God, this has been good. Now, you know we talk a lot about health tips, especially on Monday. So, do you have
some?
You have sure been.
Well, I was watching.
You sure have informed us intellectually.
Oh, well, I was watching something on PBS, and they were extolling the good powers of mushrooms, and I had no idea that mushrooms provided any kind of nutrients. I just thought they were something to just enhance chewing or whatever, because to me they don't really have any taste. But I was watching. I like them too. But, yeah, they were saying that, you know, we've already talked about the good things that berries provide and nuts and stuff, but they were talking about mushrooms. You need to incorporate mushrooms in your diet and nuts and seeds and flax seeds and all that.
Wow. So we definitely need to up that. Yes. Because I said, well, I need to focus on a low-fat and high-protein diet. And I think you've touched on gluten-free foods before because you don't eat a lot of gluten foods that consist of gluten, do you? You don't eat a lot of white foods, do you?
No.
Yeah,
that's a big concern now. You look for a lot of stuff that's gluten-free. I don't have a problem. You know, it doesn't have any kind of adverse effects on my body, gluten. But like you said, I just typically try to stay away from that as much as possible because of the starches involved.
Okay.
in eating white bread and white potatoes.
Wow. So if you focus on eating the foods that you just mentioned, that'll help replace those gluten foods.
Try to eat as many cruciferous vegetables as you can, and don't overdo it on the nuts, because I love nuts and I have a tendency to overdo it. And fresh fruits and vegetables. But then on the other hand, when you talk about fruits and vegetables, you know, a lot of people say that they have a lot of pesticides in them. So I guess the solution would be to wash them as much as possible. And hopefully you can get all the pesticides out. And then there are the people who say, well, buy organic. Well, we know the prices of organic foods are so expensive. Not everybody can afford them, especially if you're trying to feed a family.
Yeah.
And I sent you some articles. I sent you articles on genetically modified foods.
Okay.
That you want to try to stay away from. People call them frankenfoods because of the way, Monsanto and other organizations and businesses, corporations, have turned farming in America into strictly businesses. You know, it's not actually a farm anymore because the animals aren't raised like they're supposed to be. Plants aren't grown like they're supposed to be. So you have to be careful about what you're eating.
And they're not being fed the way they should be fed. Wow.
Right, they're being fed the wrong things.
So you think they're being organically
fed? I get a real good email from your Rainbow grocery store there in Jackson.
Yes.
They have really good information.
Exactly. I love Rainbow. And I intend on sharing some of their information also. I haven't been there in a few months. I need to go to Rainbow, but you're so right. They share such good information.
And you know they have an organic garden at Tougaloo College.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and you can see it from the street. Those of you that have not seen it, if you just drive down the road. There we go.
Well, are we about to hang up?
Oh yeah, we're. Thank you all for tuning in. I just was warned. Thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow we're talking politics. So if you all think this morning show was hot, wait till tomorrow. We're going to talk about America and the economy and either the re-election of the president or will we have a new president. If it's up to Cousin Linda, we won't have a new president.
No, we're keeping the same one that we have now.
But that will be the discussion tomorrow. So you all be sure to join us and call us. Thank you for listening to the Entertainment Report.
I'll talk to you.
Wait a second, I thought we were ending. We're still on air.
Oh, we are? How many more minutes do you have?
So many, probably about another 10 or 15. So many times we get cut off, like last night. And I didn't pull up the website. Exactly. So,
because sometimes I can see how many minutes you have left, but I didn't pull up the your blog thing this morning, so I don't know how many minutes we have left.
But you don't hear it, but sometimes when my voice blanks out, there's a recording that says how long we have. So it's just told me we have 10 seconds. So just in case we don't have much longer, be sure to join us tomorrow and call in and talk about the economy and talk about what's going on?
What time are you broadcasting tomorrow?
Tomorrow, did you say 11 is best? Because I've been broadcasting on Tuesdays at 11. So did you say 11 is best for you? I think it's best for a lot of listeners, too. Now, the UK listeners, they like to listen during brunch. But tomorrow, I guess they'll be doing evening time.
Okay, I'll try and tune in tomorrow. I don't know of anything. I don't have anything planned. If anything comes up, I'll call you and let you know. But otherwise, I'll tune in tomorrow at 11.
Oh, and we want to hear your perspective.
Like I said, I don't have anything planned. So I'll call in.
Okay.
Are
you
okay? Well, I'm gonna go ahead. I'll go ahead and let you go since you only have a few minutes remaining.
Okay. Well, thank you. It was fun. You surprised me, too. I thought maybe you might call in, but I didn't know you were going to share so much with us. And you all, I know some people probably saying, are they arguing? Not arguing, not at all.
Just a difference of opinion.
But we're passionate. No, but we really agree a lot. I just like to relay messages that people want me to relay. But we're passionate. And we just can't understand. Well, Cousin Linda understands, and I understand, but then there's some stuff that we just are baffled about. Because you made a good point.
Well, you know, we can't agree on everything. That's not
And that's what's fun about it. Cousin Linda, you know, I have been trying to figure out the word that you used earlier in the broadcast, complacency. I've been trying my best to figure out the word for it. And when I meant to mention it to you back then, when you said complacency, you hit the jackpot. That's the word I have been seeking.
Mhm. Well, I'm glad I was able to provide you with some help.
Yes, I was trying to figure out what word is it, because if it's just word of mouth, telling the next person, hey, you know, there are a lot of us that really want to make a difference and see change here. You know, in Jackson, and even those that travel to Jackson or like to come and work in Jackson. You know, this is spreading the word. That's doing something.
Yeah, you have to at least do something, and it starts out with ideas, and then you have to implement the idea.
And if you can't physically or don't want, not physically attending the meeting, then stay in touch and keep, and like you were saying, form buddy lists, network, spread the word. You know, there's different ways to be involved.
Yeah, if you're not able to attend, doesn't mean that somebody that you contact can't attend. And, you know, and with technology today, word spreads like wildfire. So get the word out and get people in attendance.
Exactly. And I'm glad you shared some points and reminding us regarding back in the civil rights movement, how things just started. And you all didn't have, I mean, back then, all this technology did not exist.
No.
It
was
not
word of mouth.
And look at the change that was made.
Was the attitude from, we had the attitude from the movie Network, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, as black people, we were mad, and we just decided we were not going to be abused anymore. So we decided to do something.
Wow.
You know, people think that things are okay today, and it's always been this way. You know, we've always had certain privileges or certain legal rights to do things. No, somebody had to get out there and get that for you. You know, nobody's just going to up and give you something. You have to take it. Just like people in all different countries all around the world, they finally get tired of being oppressed. You know, so like they were talking about the Arab Spring, what's going on with the people in Syria now, the people in Libya. You eventually get tired of just being spat upon, and you decide to take matters into your own hands. You know, that way you get attention from your, I don't want to use the word oppressor, but from somebody that you feel who doesn't have your best interests at heart. And then with the people in Jackson, the citizens, it's time to do something.
Yeah. And Cousin Linda, of course, is speaking in positive terms. She's not talking about going somewhere and showing out. Talking about doing things in a peaceful manner. Because, you know, some people say, oh, we're tired of it and think another way. But we're talking about solutions and dissolving things in a peaceful manner.
Of course. Like I said, number one, hold your politicians accountable. Make them earn their paychecks. And if they don't, then vote them out of office. And in some instances, maybe recall them or impeach them if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, they're collecting a salary to do something.
And I think it's the same story in every city, every community. When people do talk like that, citizens, the first thing that politicians, I just thought of this, say, well, you don't want to waste taxpayers' money. You know, when people talk like you just mentioned, and that's when they all of a sudden the taxpayers' monies are important. I know. Why you want to
waste
that?
It, Why isn't it a waste of taxpayers' money when they vote themselves pay raises and when they have vacations and all that kind of stuff? And then when they go out of town and to do consulting business or when they're hiring consultants, why isn't that a waste of taxpayers' money? Put that
Good
money
point.
Back into the community.
Good point. But every time that people like going to reconsider someone they've elected, that's always, I just thought of that. And you probably, I guess you've been seeing that, they always say, well, we don't want to waste taxpayers' money. Just let me keep this office spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, paying his salary is a waste of taxpayers' money to me. I think politicians ought to work for nothing. President Kennedy didn't draw a salary. He worked for free.
But they have to take care of their families. Some of them are business owners and have
Well, then they don't
jobs.
Look, those are elected offices. If you know you can't support your family, then don't run for office. I don't want to hear that. You know, you claim that you want to serve, you want to be a public servant. Well, then serve for free.
Good point. Because you do get the perks and benefits, right?
You know, you got career politicians, congressmen and senators.
Yeah.
I mean, their perks alone equal somebody's salary.
Now, yeah, high-level government, it sure is big time. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and well, state and local, too.
Yeah, local too, but I noticed that with some others. But yeah, you're right about that. But some people, you know, they that part-time gig, but that's a full-time job representing people that elected you.
Yeah, they get full-time checks.
The person benefits themselves is enough, and you're sure right. Some people just abuse and take advantage of their perks and benefits.
Yeah, they do, I don't like this thing of we always got to contact an outside consultant to come in to tell us how to do things. And it seems to me that nothing gets any better after you pay the consultant exorbitant fees.
Yep, that's I agree with you on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes
so they talk about wasting. There's a lot of waste in government. A lot of waste. And
yeah.
It's not their money that they're spending. You know, that's just like me. If somebody decided, here is $50,000 to do what you want to do, well, that's what I'm going to do is spend it the way I see fit and the way I want to. But now if I've got to get out there and do, and you know, and dig ditches or whatever to earn $50,000 or use a jackhammer, I'm going to be very careful about how I spend that money. You know, I'm like, okay, I'll pay the rent and I'll do this and that. But if you just give me $50,000, just throw it in my lap. I'm on the first train, you know, first step to some foreign country to have a wonderful time.
Wow. That's one thing that I like about NoLabel.org. I think I've sent you information regarding, like, some of their conference calls. NoLabel.org, that's exactly what that organization is all about. And it's comprised of Republicans, Democrats, Independents. All of us that's just tired of money being wasted, you know, and a lot of politicians are involved in NoLabels.org. You all check out their website, but because that's what NoLabels.org is all about all of us that's tired of money being wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Especially what you were saying.
And then, you know, you'll see reports on the national news about how the U.S. government just throws money away. Remember the $800 toilets and $500 hammers and $50 nails and all that. And nobody seems to have to pay for what they've done, you know, misusing government money.
Wow. And not to mention the sorays, the big galas is always held.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to pay for their out-of-town trips and for their entertainment. You know, they don't look at wasting taxpayers' money when they're the recipients of the money, when they're benefiting from it. But if it's going to provide some services to us, the constituency, then it's a waste of money.
Mm. Yes. So pretty much what we have started right now is pretty much what we'll be talking about tomorrow, listeners. And, of course, we will be agreeing and disagreeing. And you all call in and tell and share your thoughts.
Yeah, don't make us carry the conversation.
Exactly. Sometimes it feels so lonesome. And you all know my voice has been gone. So it's trying to come back. And my goodness, you and by the grace of God, it's been working a little bit. But, yeah, you all call in and let's make
and
a panel out of
solutions.
Exactly.
Yeah, give suggestions, offer solutions, or make criticism.
Exactly.
Destructive and constructive.
Yes, exactly. Because this is serious business. You know, this is. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much, because I'm sure we really do just have a few more minutes now. Thank you so much again. I guess Blog Talk Radio staffers are checking us out and saying, well, they need a little bit more time. So thank you all, the powers that be, that have allowed us to even talk even longer than the 2 hours. But, yeah.
Okay. And, Beth, don't forget to send me a Mississippi link.
Exactly. And I sent your email from Dr. Oz also. Did you get that email regarding, So regarding anti-aging tips. But yeah, not that you need it.
Oh. Well, but, it doesn't hurt to have something, you know, all that in my arsenal.
Exactly.
I haven't received the email. When did you send it? I don't see it.
It was probably about an hour before showtime, probably about 4:30. Real Age.
I didn't get
Dr. Oz's realage.com. Well, I plan on sending it. I think we all got to go ahead and send it. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to have to go, Beth. I'm getting my morning phone call. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye bye.
You. Bye bye. Okay, you all. We have a few more minutes. Thank you to Mr. Arthur Kane for calling in early in the broadcast. Those of you, check out Mississippi Link at MississippiLink.com, MISSISSIPP.com, where Otha, and honestly, he's my longtime friend. We've known, Otha is probably a year or two older than me. We've honestly have known each other since we were in elementary school, grade school. We've known each other since the 70s. And we have always respected one another and always been supportive of one another's efforts and work. And it's so good to have friends that are not only your friends, but your peers also. It's so important for us to have a support system. And hopefully we can get, because I think he has another event coming up in September regarding, you all know Mississippi is number one again, being the fattest state again. And if I'm not mistaken, Otha has an event coming up in September that will be at the Hilton Garden Inn at the King Edward's Hotel here in Jackson, Mississippi, regarding that issue alone and how many of us can live healthier lives. And so I need to ask him to send me more information so I can start informing you all in regarding that event, because he probably will be coming on again, not only talking about how important it is to stop this violence, revitalize the city of Jackson, but also how we can increase our years and live healthier lives also through eating healthier and more exercise also. Everybody doesn't need to lose weight. Everybody don't need to gain weight, but a lot of us want to be active and want to eat healthier. That's one thing that all of us have in common. We want to be healthier beings and would like to increase our years here on this beautiful earth, as much as we might complain about some things, but we do want to live longer and healthier lives. I do believe worldwide we do have that in common. So like Otha's fan book page at Otha Kane, network with him on Twitter at Otha C. He's an amazing person to network with. He's very opinionated, but he is very caring, and he cares about the communities, different communities. He's an AIDS activist. He and I both are very, very active and supportive of that issue alone. I know that. And just amazing. So, again, the meeting is in preparation and planning a prayer vigil. And it will be this evening at 6 p.m. in downtown Jackson at the Hinds County Sheriff Courthouse. at the courthouse at 6 p.m. Shout out to Sheriff Tyrone Lewis. And it is not just for pastors and preachers and teachers. It's for everybody. If you're a citizen and if you love the city of Jackson, or if you're someone that would like to come to Jackson or just feel like, wow, that city really needs some assistance, don't fret to be involved and keep in touch and find out what's going on if you're not attending the meeting. But to keep in touch and find out what's going on and continue to spread the word. But you can most definitely check out Mississippi Link, a local, internationally known newspaper that Otha is editor of here in Mississippi. And I'm going to send Cousin Linda some printed copies, but you all can visit the website and check out what's hot. I need to check out what's hot. I don't know what's in this week's issue, so definitely need to check it out myself. And remember, also, some of you loved hearing the review of Walk Off Weight Journal. And remember, if you don't have your copy, please get it. And I need to follow up on inviting Michelle Stanton here to the show, because I did invite her, but I guess I need to follow up and send her more information. And I'm sure a lady of her being a fitness director and a writer, I know she's busy and get a lot of requests also in working with so many people that she helped in managing their diet. So I'm going to follow up on my request of asking her to be a guest on the show so we can hear straight from her exactly what's going on. But before we conclude this morning's program, I'm going to share something from the journal. And this is on page 68, and it's about quicker and shorter steps when you're walking. And this is states that one of the most common mistakes people make when they try to walk faster is that they take steps that are too long. The secret to speed is taking more quicker steps, not excessively long ones. Think short as you step forward. Keep your stride more underneath you and behind you. A great way to push yourself to take quicker, shorter steps is to track your number of steps, then aim to increase it over the course of the program. You can simply count steps in your head for individual intervals, or wear a pedometer. I have to wear a pedometer all the time. I need to get a new one. And to tally to your step count for entire walk. And also, a big shout-out to Walmart, not only for my amazing cake, but recently I purchased online a couple of sneakers for exercise and walking from Dan Skin. And just thank you so much for the awesome sneakers for exercise and walking. They're very comfortable. And just want to shout out Walmart and shout out T-Mobile and my goodness, I love to shout out my favorite stores and JCPenney's. I'll be visiting you all real soon. So shout out to JCPenney's and some other retailers. You all need to be advertising also here during the broadcast of the show. So contact blogtalkradio.com and I so we can provide you with the proper information. Also, if you all want to see the show stay on the air too, right? Again, thank you so much for your support. And we're not done yet. I'm going to play a couple more PSAs and a little bit music and then a little bit more music. And remember, we will broadcast tomorrow at 11. And we're going to be talking about the America and the economy. And, you know, of course, we can't talk about American economy without talking about politics. Not a political show, but an entertainment lifestyle show. And politics are definitely a very important part of the way we're entertained and how we're entertained, and plus our everyday lifestyle lives. So a lot of people say, you know, politics are always involved in something. So we're going to be talking about America and its economy. And, you know, I've been an open-minded, independent, thinking Republican, and my cousin is a hardcore, open-minded Democrat. It should be very interesting, and we're looking forward to some of you calling in also and sharing your perspective. And remember, help me out. You know, my voice is, my throat is bothering me and my voice is trying to return. So, you know, call in and help co-host the show and let's talk about what's really going on and how we can not only make our own cities better, but also America. Or if you're in the UK, my UK listeners and other listeners worldwide, feel free to call in and share your point of view and share why you love America and why you love your community also. I mean, this is a worldwide thing. But, again, thank you. Cannot thank you enough. Michelle for supporting and loving Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. And big shout out to David Harrison Levy and his lady Rosie. They're back together. And Rosie looks so happy on Facebook. You all know that David Harrison Levy is like an inspiration, my mentor, my, I guess, manager agent, even though it's not, I don't have a contract yet. but I'm working on it, I guess. I need to, you know, work on these pounds and stuff like that. But as a writer, you know, he represents many. He's a star maker. And not only, he's not a star maker just for people who wants to be Hollywood stars. But one thing about David Harrison Levy is he brings that star out of everyone. He helps you see the star. I won't say he brings the star out, but he helps people find that star, that sparkle. I had like a little bit of a sparkle inside of me. And that sparkle has just, it has just all lit up, literally, from networking and being friends with David Harrison Levy since 07. And his name is definitely right. He's definitely a star maker. If he's not making Hollywood stars, he's making people, he helped us realize that we are, it's not too late, and that we can be the star in our own lives, in our only daily efforts, and that we can live and be the best that we can be. So some people just bring the best out of some people. There are some people out there that bring the worst out of some people, but I try not to deal in that area. But there are people that just bring the best out of one another. And David Harrison Levy is one. And shout out to my attorney and my friend, Jay Lucas, also Big D. He is so funny. He had me rolling this past weekend. He's another inspiration. I mean, thank God. He's been in my life since 06. We've been in one, each other's lives since 06. And he's been amazing inspiration also. I have read reviews before of his work. He's never lost a child custody case. So he's doing something right. And I have read reviews from some people, but my review of him, he gets a thumb up, an A+. And also I see many others give him the same. And just amazing, amazing guy. But I just wanted to, and there's many others I want to shout out, Brenda Torres and Time Mock and my goodness, Cousin Linda and I talked about many others early on, but I'll leave it at that. You would think I'm accepting some kind of award or something, huh? But shout out also to James Franco, who will be filming his movie, Will Faulkner's novel, As I Lay Dying. In the pre-production already started, which many of you already know. Casting calls were held a couple weeks ago, and they're still casting roles, I'm sure. But filming will begin real, real soon in the Jackson metropolitan area in Canton, Mississippi. And I'm quite sure that's going to be an awesome film. And, you know, if you all are familiar with Canton, Mississippi, A Time to Kill was filmed in Canton, Mississippi. Also, during the same time, the Chamber and Ghost Mississippi was filmed in Jackson, Mississippi. But Canton, Mississippi is where A Time to Kill was also filmed in the late 90s. But he will be filming As I Lie Dying. And a lot of stars are going to be made because a lot of people sure showed up for the casting calls here in Jackson and in Canton. So I just wanted to keep you all updated on that. The caster, and ironically, the gentleman casting for the film is a native of Canton. Isn't that something? His business is based in Canada, and his name is Matthew Morgan. So you all can like his Facebook page at Morgan Casting, and you will be informed about all the casting jobs that he is working on. And also, I'm wondering if Robert Downey Jr. is doing fine. Anyone knows how he's recovering? You know, he was injured on the set of Iron Man 3 in North Carolina last week. He injured his foot, I believe. So sending hugs and love and kisses to one of my favorite actors, Robert Downey Jr., and to his wife and family. Hope you have a speedy recovery. If I'm not mistaken, they're not filming until he recovers. So as soon as he recovers, they'll resume filming for Iron Man 3. But I just want to thank you all and talk a little bit. If the show does not end in real soon, I have a little more information to share, like tell certain people happy birthday. But if not, until next time, you all have a blessed Monday, and looking forward to Talk That Talk Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And be sure to prepare yourself and call in and chat with me in the chat room. Shout out to those of you that chatted with me this morning also in the chat room. And also thank you to Mike Scott for calling in on Friday during Sports Friday edition of Coach Shark Entertainment Report. His show will be coming back to blogtalkradio.com on September 5th at noon. Okay, PCP Network. And you can friend him on Facebook at Mike Scott. He and I both are fellow members of Sports Executive Association, founded by Lewis Howes. And Trevor Turnbull and Lewis Howes are the head honchos at Sports Networker. And you all be sure to follow Sports Networker on Twitter and also check out the YouTube videos. Lewis Howes said that he would be producing more YouTube videos also, so he can be found at Lewis Howes pretty much everywhere, LinkedIn, Facebook. He has a public page, so you can like his public page and everything. So I also want to shout him out also because if you love sports and you want a career in sports, or if you're changing careers or you're a veteran in sports, it's very good to network with Lewis Howes. And if just in business general also, and if you want to like up your angst in social networking, he's the guy to go to also in regards to LinkedIn networking and webinars and so on. Just amazing. So, again, I thank you all, and God bless, and here's some more music. Oh, Bahama Mama SeaWorld High Fashion, they will be guests on, if not September the 1st, September the 8th. Done deal. So you all look forward to not only hearing High Fashion, SeaWorld High Fashion, but you will get an opportunity to hear them live, talk about what's going on with their writing and their music, and also call in and ask them questions. September the 1st or September the 8th, weekend edition. I'll let you all know as soon as we confirm the date. It's probably going to be September the 1st, but it's going to be September 1st or 8th. September 1st is my late sister's birthday also. But, again, just wanted to let you know about that. And thank you.
I am in a predicament, trying to be a gentleman. She wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no room to fit.
No room
when you fall in a kit. We find that your love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
What is for not a
walk? My dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love of the shepherd who left from the shelter to try to find better.
Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind.
Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no room to fit.
No room to
when you fall in a kit, we find that your love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between,
caught in between.
And both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
But it's for not a
walk.
Choose who to have here next to me. It's a three-way race.
Happy birthday, Al Roker. Today's show, he turns 58. Happy birthday to Al Roker. George Mitchell, former Senate Majority Leader, he's 79. Connie Chung is 66. Jimmy Pankow, rock musician, Chicago, he's 65. Robert Plant, rock singer, Led Zeppelin, 64. John Hyatt, rock singer and songwriter, 60. Joan Allen is 56, actress. James Marsters, actor, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, 50. Oh, KRS-One, what's up? One of the pioneers of hip-hop and rap. He is 47. Billy Gardell, actor, Mike and Molly, is 43. Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit, rock singer, 42. Tom Hilton, baseball player, 39. And actress, singer, Demi Lovato, amazing talent. Sonny Chance turns 20 years old. Oh, isn't she amazing? I like her. 1992, the Republican National Convention in Houston nominated President George H.W. Bush and Vice President Dan Quayle for a second term. And something else in history, 1977, the United States launched Voyager 2, an unmanned spacecraft carrying a 12-inch copper phonograph record containing greetings in dozens of languages, samples of music, and sounds of nature. In 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed a nearly $1 billion anti-poverty measure. Hundreds of people were killed in anti-French rioting in Morocco and Algeria in 1955. The Soviet Union publicly acknowledged it had tested a hydrogen bomb. That was in 1953. 1918, Britain opened an offensive on the Western Front during World War I. In 1833, Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president of the United States, was born in North Bend, Ohio. And the top highlight in history story is the one that happened in 1968, the year I was born, August 11th, August the 20th, the Soviet Union and other Warsaw Pact nations invaded Czechoslovakia to crush the Prague Spring liberalization drive of Alexander Dubček's regime. So that is what happened. So you all check out AP, and if your newspaper has highlights in history, check it out. My source is the Dallas News in regards to that. I have some more news to share with you all. Hopefully I will have a little time to share, but it looks like I don't want us to run out of time right when I start. So I guess it's something that I can share tomorrow because it is not coming up at my fingertips like right now. Mitt Romney has released a new video. He releases a new video often. Here's the tips that I want to share that I had mentioned to Cousin Linda, and it is 10 ways to live long and healthy, and it's from Real Age, one of the websites of Dr. Oz, and amazing tips. So hopefully I have enough time to share this also with you because this is Motivating Monday, and it's important for us to be motivated on just being healthy and living healthy. So, you know, we all are not Mr. and Ms. and everything in between know-it-alls. We all need to be educated and also share the positive things that we do know with others. Also, but it's taken forever for this top 10 to come up. But I have tweeted it and posted it on Facebook and will share it with you on tomorrow. But you all can visit realage.com because it is one of Dr. Oz's websites, and it's 10 ways to live long and healthy and amazing tips. And also there are articles regarding how to watch out for bad mood foods and junk foods that won't kill your diet. And also an article about 31 days of hotter sex, you know, topics of that sort. But it's real good about, and the tips are very interesting and very good. I mean, of course, coming from Dr. Oz. But, again, thank you for tuning in. And I will play a couple more PSAs and a song, and we'll conclude the program. But I definitely thank you, and I thank you enough for your amazing support. Here's a message from the American Lung Association.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, and there were more than a few, I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempts, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Hola, soy Talía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante, artista, pero mi papel más importante es el enfermero. March of Dime me ayuda con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Mi bebé nació sana y a término, como debe ser para todos los bebés. Por eso apoyo a March of Dime y su caminata anual, La Marcha por los Bebés. Únase y participe en La Marcha por los Bebés. Visite nacersano.org.
Hi, I'm Julie Bowen, asking you to walk with me in March for Babies. Too many children in our country are being born prematurely or with birth defects. They have to fight to survive every day, but you can make a difference. Your steps in March for Babies can help them take their first steps. Visit marchforbabies.org to start your team and raise money to ensure that babies are born healthy. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Again, thank you for listening to Motivate Monday, Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports. If you're not following me at Pinterest.com, please do if you have a Pinterest account at Culture Shock, KULTRESHOKBETH. And also follow me at Tumblr at KULTRESHOKENTBETH.tumblr.com. I really appreciate you. And remember to create a listener profile if you have not already, so you can enter the chat room and also interact within the Blog Talk Radio community. And tweet me at Beth Williams, B-E-T-H-W-M-S, and Culture Shock Entertainment also, KULTRESHOKENT. And also like the fan page at Culture Shock Entertainment Report. And that's with a Z, report. Okay? Well, thank you again, and I really appreciate you. And remember, you can shoot emails to me. Send me MP3s. Send me MP3s and Waves, WAV audio also for your PSAs and also for your music, your press kits and so on. If you're interested in being a guest co-host or just want to promote your projects and talk about your community efforts, please don't hesitate to contact me in regards to that so we can schedule a show time and date, okay? So, again, I thank you and thank everyone that called in last week, Ebony Empress, Otev Kenyatta, again, Michael Scott, also my number one fan in New York City, Wim Perez. Thank you so much for calling in the past weekend. And shout out to Adam Rodriguez and some of my other favorite hot guys out there, okay? And all just hot listeners, period. It's been a blast, and again, thank you very much. Here's Six String Woody, Daydreaming. I love this song.
Thank you. gone by, daydream. When you were here with me, daydream. Lonely nights when you're not here with me. Beautiful sights, they lost all their beauty. The dream, I go back just to catch a glimpse of love gone by, daydream. When you were here with me, daydream.
Thank you.